Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I am your host, Patrick Dean.
So far, so good.
Yeah, because I said the right name. And each week, I tell a real story from real history to my real friend, Clayton Smith, who doesn't take it real seriously.
Almost perfect. I do have one note.
Okay.
New listeners might not understand now this is a ghost podcast because you do tell
it's
a
real... It's called Is This a Ghost?
But you call it, you tell a real ghost story every week.
Fucking agricultural podcast or something? Come on.
It could be. It could be. What if it's the ghost of our sins, our tormented souls?
Well, lucky for them, one of the ghosts is George Washington Carver this time. So that's...
Okay.
You turned into the agricultural yucks.
Oh, man. We got something for everyone here. Mm-hmm. And is this a ghost? Okay, but you did pretty good. That's good. I'll give you, that's a 94.
Thank you. That's 4 out of 10. I mean, we grade on a curve here. 4 out of 10 is good enough.
Yeah, sure.
For any listeners that are not aware, this is the first time you've listened to the episode. Don't get used to this. But
can you imagine coming in to the first episode on Halloween?
How'd they do this for 127 episodes? They sound miserable.
It's like, I've never done this before. 3 times tops.
So on the Halloween episode, which this airs on, I have no idea what day this is.
The day before Halloween.
The day before Halloween. Halloween Eve. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The devil's playpen. I don't remember what the day before Halloween is called.
Devil's foreplay.
Devil's foreplay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The devil's second base.
It's the night of Satan's cunnilingus.
Okay. So that's third base.
Not good at baseball.
So once a year we take some time out of our schedule, by we I mean me, to research the show. And instead of, you know, letting Clayton do all the work and have all the fun, I research one show each year. So I am playing the role of, I am wearing the costume of, I'm wearing the skin of Clayton Smith.
Every time you give a version of that, it's more upsetting.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I am in Clayton Smith's home. His family is mine.
This is the second week in a row we've referenced that politician from Virginia who stole his friend's family. And I celebrate that. So what do you got on, what's in store for us tonight, Pat?
Well, so I think we'll, since I don't like new things, we're going to go with the same format as last year's Halloween episode.
Okay.
And that would be, as you termed it, two haunts and a flaunt. Mm-hmm. The old two truths and a lie format we've stolen from every radio show since the beginning of radio.
You can leave that part out next time.
Okay.
That's Jeremy. Okay,
yeah. There we go.
Okay, Jeremy. Sorry. You're making the edits. I forgot. Go ahead.
So I will tell Clayton three ghost stories, right? Now, I would argue a little bit against any of them being true, but
sure.
Theoretically, two of these stories have been researched, you know, from the annals of the internet. And one of them has been invented from whole cloth. Mm-hmm. So it is up to Clayton to decide which he believes is truth and which he believes is a lie. And it is my job to win by making him guess wrong.
Mm-hmm. My track record so far, not great. Batting zero, I think.
I thought you won the last. I thought you got the last one. You.
Because we've done this.
You lost the first one.
I lost the first one, but that's the only one that I've done. Because then I did Haunts and a Flaunt for our 100th episode on you.
That's right.
You lost one too. So we have a combined. Okay. Combined, we are the Cardinals this year. Is where that puts us.
So anyone tuning in this week, which I guess is literally everyone that can hear this, you could be here for the first victory by the guesser. In the history of two haunts and a flaunt.
Very excited. So. I'm cracking my celebratory beer early. I'm drinking an Oktoberfest in honor of the month. And you know, Pat, when I sit at home with the boys on Halloween night by myself, I love to pour my beer into an Is This a Ghost frosty cold pint glass.
Oh, my word.
One that says, "You are not a fish," with sexy fish. Abe Lincoln cosplaying as George Washington. No, Uncle Sam. That's who that is.
Fantastic. Really, I should have asked. I probably should have asked before we started this. Are we sponsored by anybody this week?
We are, in fact. And
oh, shit.
So if you want to go ahead and do that ad for Smart Labels, that would be really great.
Oh, man. Can you send me the copy in the chat? Because I don't remember what we're supposed to say.
Here's a. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here.
They don't give us copy.
I know that that's probably going to be surprising for most listeners to hear based on how professional and smooth these ads usually go. But it's just kind of, you just let it rip. And David over at Smart Labels just 100% of the time says, that's great.
Yep. Dave, so, the old rubber stamp David. My favorite. Well, then I should say this week, Is This the Ghost is brought to you by Smart Labels.
Hey, they're back. Hey. That's what you usually say.
Do I? Yeah, it's okay. Fair enough. Have you ever lost all your shit?
Oh, yeah. So I lose my shit all the time. I have two young children. I'm just constantly losing my shit over here. Why do you ask?
How'd that? Well, how would you like if you could not do that? If you could not lose all your shit? If you could know where all the shit was at all times?
I love knowing where all the shit is. Mm-hmm. At least exactly. I think I do. Never done it.
So this would keep you... So the other option, Smart Labels, great solution. Mm-hmm. All you do, you... put a sticker on everything you own, and then you scan it into the app, and then you know where everything is. Other option. Get rid of all the walls and furniture in your house and just lay everything on the floor. That way, you know where everything is. You just take a glance. Oh, blender. It's over there. Oh, cat in the corner.
Can I tell you? This was today. So Erin was in New York last weekend, and she came home with presents for the girls, and she bought them very, very smartly identical stuffed animals.
Clever.
Yep.
And so they won't fight.
Yep. Two little reindeer animals. This morning we wake up and one of them is missing and we can't find the reindeer anywhere. There's only one reindeer, and that's a whole problem in itself. That there's only one and we don't know which one it is and whose it is, and that becomes a whole thing. We spend the entire morning as a family looking for this reindeer. Can't find the reindeer. Erin and I spend at least a solid hour during the day looking for this reindeer. We do not have a big plate. We're in a townhouse. Can't find this reindeer. Anywhere. Can I find it anywhere? The girls come home. Where's the other reindeer? We don't know. Let's look for it. We spend another hour looking for this reindeer. Cannot find the fucking reindeer anywhere. If that reindeer had a Smart Label on its butt, we'd know exactly where to find that reindeer.
Yeah, I'm kind of imagining, you know, about a half hour into this, you and Erin are like chiding each other for, oh, well, if someone had just put a Smart Label on it, I guess we wouldn't have lost it by now.
In hour seven, I went online and I bought 1,000 Smart Labels. I said, everything in this house now gets a Smart Label. And we will never lose a reindeer again. So
Smart Labels.
Yeah,
smart solution. solution to marital strife.
Amen to that. And if people want to buy it, like how do I buy Smart Labels, Pat?
I would go on it personally. Yeah, yeah. If I was going to do it, I'd go on Amazon. Right. I take my little. I let my fingers do the walking. You know, is that copyrighted?
Probably. It's probably. No, the Yellow Pages are long dead.
Yeah, I let my fingers do the walking. I type in Smart Labels, however that's spelled, and then poof, they show up. Then you click add to cart or buy now if you have no impulse control, and there they are, waiting for you on your porch several hours later. Enjoy.
I was hoping you were going to put a button on it, and that was, I'd say you nailed it. Oh, boy.
I'm sure David will like that one.
No notes on that one.
So, any stories from the week? I mean, obviously you told the...
Well, let me tell you about this reindeer. Yeah, but a lot of people skip the ad, so let me talk about it again. gosh, I feel like there was something I was going to tell you, and what was it? I don't know. What are you dressing? What's your Halloween costume, aside from Clayton? What's your trick-or-treating costume?
Probably going to be a suburban dad sitting on porch. Mm. Yeah, that's going to be...
Budweiser in hand. And
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. We weren't going to do a family one this year. In years past, we've done like the family theme, but now that the children each have their own personalities and they all clash, doesn't work anymore.
Sure.
Glory, I believe, is going to be a mushroom.
just like a woodsy mushroom?
Yeah, just she has a mushroom hat, okay, and she covered herself in vines. I don't know how that works in, and poof, okay, mushroom.
So not like a not like Toad, not like
no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Cool.
Just a mushroom.
That's great.
Yeah. June, I think some sort of haunted cat. That's as close as I can get.
Yeah.
And Stella, you know, obviously doesn't want anything to do with this. So that's that's the family costume.
She's so cool. Drives me crazy. Yeah. She's way cooler than I am. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
We bought our girls their Halloween costumes at Costco. Because it was pretty fun costumes for, you know, pretty cheap. And that's their, kind of their whole thing. But we learned last year, you've got to buy those things in August if you want to have them for October because they sell out so fast. And so we did. So this year in August, we went to Costco and they had the Halloween costumes up. And we said, girls, okay, you can pick a costume, but please, you got to commit to the bit. Like you can't, you know, you got to just make it something you're really, you're really going to want to wear this in like 2.5 months, right? And so Maple picked a witch costume, cool little witch costume. And Ivy picked a knockoff Elsa.
Okay.
These are great. So they got those, and that's what they're going to be. And then Aaron is going to be a grown-up witch to match Maple's.
Right. Sure. Of course.
And then, well, I said, well, I bet I could find a Kristoff costume on the internet.
Oh, you're not going to. Oh, okay. I mean, you could also just go grown-up 7-foot-tall Elsa as well.
I could have been Anna, which I think would have been a very nice Anna. Thank you very much. But I found a really actually pretty enjoyable Kristoff costume. And so I was like, okay, Ivy, before I buy this, I know you're only two, but listen, you're really going to want to be Elsa, right? For Halloween. She's like, yeah, I'm going to be Elsa for Halloween. I was like, all right. So I bought this Kristoff costume that looks great. I look great in it. Very excited about it. And of course, now that we're close to Halloween, Maple's still into being a witch. So Aaron's all set. Ivy wants to be at last check a, what'd you say? Zombie panda vampire. So,
good luck finding the coordinating costume there.
I don't know. So I don't even know how to match that. That's some powerful energy. So I don't know. I might just be Kristoff with a pet zombie panda vampire. We'll see what happens. I have a blonde wig and everything. I'm very excited. The nice thing about Kristoff is his hair is messy, so you don't have to style the wig. You just pull it out of the bag, and you're ready to go. You're in there.
I was very amused to know that the voice actor for Kristoff is the same as the Witch King in King Hamilton. King George, in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And as soon as I found that everything, as soon as I heard the song the next time, I thought, oh, no, that's that's the exact same guy, isn't it? Makes sense.
Do you know, probably almost a year ago now, maybe like 7 or 8 months ago, we were listening to, because when Aaron plugs in her phone into the car, automatically Hamilton starts playing.
Sure.
just because, until we switch it to Lori Berkner Band. But one time the song, one of the King George songs comes on and like instantly Maple goes, is that Kristoff? I was like, Jesus Christ, kid, it is. And wow. But yeah, he's a famously spitty singer.
Famously spitty.
Go see some video of him, of him singing. He spits a lot while he sings. He spits a lot.
Okay. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm there. Would you like to hear a ghost story?
It looks like that. Jonathan Groff, very spitty.
Would you like to hear a ghost story, Clayton?
What?
How about three?
Sorry, I missed the first part. I was spitting into the microphone.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We've been doing this for 17 minutes so far.
Oh, we've hit the mark then. Okay, let's go. I am ready to hear three ghost stories. Yes, I am, Patrick. Thank you so much.
Allegedly true ghost stories.
Let me do, like I still have the soundboards. Let me, speaking of one last very quick thing, I promise this will be quick. Jeremy sent me some new sounds that he cut. And I will play a couple of them for you now. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is just, he just kind of went through episodes recently and was like, here are some sounds I thought you might want for the soundboard.
He walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life.
That's one. One more I thought I'd share tonight. You ready for this? It's related. Kind of.
Okay.
I don't know, spiritually, I would say related.
I don't need a drop of context. Those are valuable buttons to keep it ready.
So they are. Those are on the mixing board. Thank you, Jeremy Montoya, our audio editor, for surprising you with those. Those are gold. Thank you, Jeremy. All right. Now, with all that said, so should I press the button?
Yeah. Whichever one. Okay.
Oh, God.
March 30th, 1906.
That's a suspicious date. Never heard of an ought.
Mm-hmm. No, it's that's
sounds
that's
fake.
Number
one, it's fake? Question mark. Mm-hmm. Taking notes.
1906. At 2 a.m., a fire breaks out in the University of Idaho's administration building.
Mm-hmm. Mm, trick question. Idaho has no centers of higher learning.
There's no one administrating anything.
I've heard a lot about people in Idaho, and there's not a thing happening there past eighth grade.
The building, which actually also doubled as a campus museum.
Okay.
Filled, yeah. The museum of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure Idaho has stuff to muse on. Filled with priceless artifacts and documents. I don't know if the documents were priceless as well, but maybe. Apparently the items were valuable enough that the dean of faculty at the time, J. Glover Eldridge, used a ladder to climb back into the burning building, into his office, to rescue some of the important records.
Why would you do that? These are Idahoan records. They might be priceless for Idaho standards, but come on.
I would imagine, I mean, it's a university. Probably it's invoices.
It's gotta be. This is not the sort of thing that Nicolas Cage is gonna go on a quest for, right? Absolutely
very
not.
Very clearly, I gotta get those. No one's gonna believe that these people owe me so much fucking money. Apparently, not only was Mr. Eldridge's, or Dr. Eldridge probably, Dr. Eldridge's office containing valuable items, but elsewhere in the building, students also sought to save what they could.
I'll tell you, I mean, I wasn't alive in 1906 or whatever, but my students now, they see it's on fire, they don't go in for jack shit. They don't go in for me. If I'm stuck in there, my students aren't even coming in to save me, much less paper.
Your students probably wait outside the front doors, and they're like, do we still have to wait the 10 minutes, or can we just...
Yeah. Scoot.
I don't think it's going to change in the next 5 minutes. We should probably just go. The students carried books by the armload out into the snow. Imagine 1906, books probably pretty valuable. Not as valuable as they were whenever you and I went to school and it was like $700 for your textbooks.
Yeah, I think these are probably... Yep, yep. Go ahead.
One young woman, Julie Moore.
Now, see, women didn't go to college this time. This is just fraud.
I think this is, we didn't give women
the opportunity to do stuff. Yeah. Come on.
She went back into the building with friends to try and help, but Julie never came out.
Oh, no. Poor Julie.
By dawn, not sweet the Julie. Entire building was a shell of brick and plaster.
And bone? So
probably little bones in somewhere where Julie settled in, because they never found her. Due to the building serving only as administrative purposes, not, you know, housing or I don't know what else you would do in a college campus at night. I couldn't be bothered.
I think there was a lot of beer cans being thrown around. That was part of it.
Right.
And some midnight frisbee on the quad, I think, if I remember correctly.
Indeed. All those people died.
That's for the best.
But in total, only one life was lost in the massive fire. Again, a colossal fire at the time.
That's pretty good.
We've had bigger fires since then. But at the time, big fire.
Yeah.
2 years later, 2 years following the fire, as the university expanded, I guess this didn't set them back very much.
That's insurance money, I assume.
Well, so here's the funny part. Moral Hall, was constructed to house the influx of students, I guess, in the early 1900s.
Moral Hall.
Moral Hall. Would you like, would you like a spelling?
Moral Oral? Yeah, give me a spelling.
M-O-R-R-I-L-L. That's got to be someone's last name. Moral or like Hall. A weird bird in Idaho or something. I don't know.
Or a red herring from someone who knows that I would think it was interesting that Moral was spelled differently than Moral.
Here's the next part. The insurance proceeds from the administrative building fire were used to construct the dormitory, which angered some of the university staff. Again, the museum had been the jewel of, you know.
Yeah, and what, now we're just going to house students who pay us tuition? Yeah.
Exactly. I lost my bird collection in the fire, sir.
We made $3 a month on the admission to that museum. Get these tuition-paying students out of here. I tell you, the liberal arts professors are the worst.
This is what happens when you let all the invoices go up in flames. The whole thing goes to shit.
Amen.
In the first few years of the dormitory of Moral Hall, the dormitory's use, a woman's voice could be heard late at night running up and down the halls.
Like the voice is running.
So you can imagine you're inside your room. Mm-hmm. The door is closed.
Yeah.
You hear the voice traveling up and down the hall.
Yeah. But right. Is the voice, it's not like.
Yeah, like. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. All right. Yeah, good. All right.
She would cry out for help and beat on doors briefly before disappearing.
Don't like that.
No, definitely not. No one has reported actually seeing the woman, only hearing her. And of course, an uneasy feeling as her footsteps pound past the door.
Mm.
Pretty spooky.
That is pretty spooky.
Pretty spooky.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's all fun and games until I'm trying to get some sleep and someone's banging on my door asking for help and then disappearing. Don't like that. All right. Is that the first? That's
any question? That was story the first.
So story Julie. Any I don't know. No questions. I can just give my thoughts. I have some notes here.
Mm-hmm.
1906. That's suspicious. Idaho and education. Not buying that. Now you did say there was a dean of students. Now that is a title that exists.
Mm-hmm.
You would know that I know that because I work in higher education. So I don't know. It could be a double fake here. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's a double herring, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. This one's tough. Good names. Jay Glover Eldridge. That's a good 1906 name.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Not a lot of breadcrumbs in this one, I think.
Okay.
So pretty good.
All right. I like it. It's a spooky one.
It is spooky.
Are you ready? For story the second.
I am ready for a second story.
1869.
Wait, hold on.
So I'm sorry. I guess ought doesn't work there. 1869. Nice. Put it that way. Very nice. The nicest year in the 1800s.
Civil War is ending? Ended? Just like one
it's
year?
It's ended. It's ended. Yeah, we're in the honeymoon period. It's the honeymoon period.
Yeah, Reconstruction era, I think, was famously pretty sweet.
Everything's going pretty smoothly here. The Conley House in Columbia, Missouri.
I know that place.
Oh, interesting.
But you also know that place.
I do. I've been to the Columbia, Missouri. I've been there.
Okay.
Sitting today along Conley Avenue on the University of Missouri campus, as you all know,
mm-hmm.
Catty corner from the Mark Twain Residence Hall.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever live in Twain?
I never lived in Twain. I lived. Okay. Is that by laws?
I think it's over by the football stuff.
Yes. So Twain was a really far one. Laws was not too far. I did live in Laws. I was an RA for the. For the ROTC folks who lived in Laws.
Oh, I bet that went over really well.
You know what? Actually, I was way more popular than I thought I would be.
Very disciplined. Very disciplined.
They were very disciplined. They tried to pull nothing. And actually, they were kind of watching me the whole time. And I was like, look, I'm the responsible one. You don't have to look at me like that. You don't have to come in my room at 10 o'clock at night to see what I'm doing. I'm fine. good folks over there in the ROTC dorm. But yeah, Twain was... Gosh, I dated someone in Twain for a little while, not very long. But
all the cool people I ended up meeting in college had lived in Twain at some point. So there must have been some cool magnet in 2002.
It was the cool learning community. I was in the honors learning community, so I was in fucking Gillette with the nerds.
Right.
So we were not cool.
Yeah.
But like the cool people, they were in Twain.
I was in the bargain learning community.
The bargain learning community.
Well, so when you go to college, you get to pick on, like, they don't, like, you don't pick what dorm you want to go to. You have like a list. Mm-hmm. Of, like, what are your priorities? Like,
yeah.
Oh, a positive learning experience, access to athletics, access to food, money. And I was like, okay, so that's a big one. I have to afford to go to college. So I said, that's the most important, is the cheapest possible thing you have to stay here. And they're like, oh, we're going to put all you guys in one dorm.
You go to Schurz?
I was a Schurz.
Yes. It
was
Schurz. Oh, that is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually, when I was teaching at Columbia, there was a student there who, in the last couple of years, who had transferred from Mizzou to go to Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you know, the first day I was going to give my background just really quickly. And she's like, hey, I went to Mizzou. And I was like, what? What are you doing here? It's weird. But anyway, so after class one day, we were chatting, and she's like, so where'd you live in Mizzou? I was like, well, when I first, you know, I was in Gillette first. And she goes, oh my God, I slept with so many guys at Gillette. And I was like, I don't, and this is like, not a conversation that I think we should be having.
Yeah, hang on. Let me scroll through my phone real quick. What is the last 4 digits of your phone number again? I just need a cross-reference.
You're not like a returning student, right?
You, right, yeah.
Oh, man.
Your mom didn't live in Gillette, right? Like,
what was her maiden name?
Just, yeah. I'm distracted.
Yep, sorry. Conley
Avenue, catty corner to Twain. This beautiful Victorian home was constructed as a family home by wealthy Columbia businessman Sanford Conley.
Okay.
If you look on the map, Sanford and Conley are the two roads that come together at the Conley House. I didn't even know Sanford was a road in Columbia. Mm-hmm. Over the years, many members of the Sanford family spend time in the home, including his famously disagreeable sister, Sally.
Conley. Aren't they all, though, huh?
Indeed. yeah. Anytime it's, you know, late 1800s, and you still have the same family name at an age when you become the disagreeable one, and all of your portraits start to look pretty angry in general. Yeah, you get a name. You get a name for yourself. Mm-hmm. Sally apparently enjoyed staying in the house, which, you know, I can imagine, you know, big family house, lots of people around. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't? She loved the house so much. And again, was apparently so disagreeable, and the house was the only thing that brought her happiness.
Okay.
That she requested that upon her death, she be buried, quote, within the north wall of the home near the fireplace.
All right. I'm making a note. Hold on a second.
Okay. I guess she liked the fireplace, like the area around the fireplace, and she asked to be buried within
when you die, said you do wall. Want to be kept warm because it's pretty cold, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. But as a corpse, you kind of don't want to be kept warm, you know, just in general. It does help.
I don't think it helps you care some anymore. Processes. I think maybe your family might care.
Exactly. Your family and the rats.
If you had to be buried inside a wall in a building, which building would you pick?
Ooh. This one's not bad. Yeah, this one down here.
Do you want to be buried in this basement?
I'll put up one of those fake walls. You know, do like a telltale heart thing. Yeah, I think it'll, yeah, I think it'll
and work. In this case, you're the murder victim. Exactly. Okay, just checking.
Is it Cask of Amontillado?
Yeah, Cask of Amontillado.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Too many murdering people and hiding them in the house stories.
Yeah, I mean,
to keep track of.
Boy, Poe is really he was really going through some stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
okay. So upon her death, upon Sally's death, the family obliged.
I mean, if it's in the will, you got to do it.
Yeah.
That's legally binding.
Years pass, nearly a century, in fact, and in 1980, the home is purchased by the University of Missouri. It was already on campus. So it made sense to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, universities expanding all the time. It would go on to house visiting
higher education's famously just going like gangbusters, and we are just right with money. But in 1980,
that was, you know, the roaring 80s of public education.
Yeah,
it would go on to house visiting staff. I don't know who would visit the university, but I guess they needed somewhere to stay.
Okay,
as well as the campus writing program and excellence in teaching. Program. I guess those are both things.
Okay.
However, individuals that did stay overnight at the house reported strange noises, especially near the fireplace.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Peter Neenan.
Peter who lived Neenan?
That's Neenan? A name. Neenan. I can spell it if you'd like.
N-E-E-N-A-N?
You got it. He lived alone on the second floor of Conley House for 4 years in the 1970s, I guess before the university had taken over. One night, 1973, he awoke to find an apparition of a woman staring at him from the hallway. Only, again, only person in the house. Big Victorian house, only person there.
Don't love that.
Wakes up, lady's looking at you. You're on a college campus. What do? You scream.
She a looker? Or I don't know. You say,
you know, at that point, I don't know.
Now he's living alone in the second floor, you say?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to live, it's a university house, or it's a house on the university campus. You don't want to be on the first floor. Very loud. Very loud. So
he's not relegated to the second floor. He just is on the second floor.
I would imagine the bedroom, it's like most Victorian homes. The main floor is the parlor, entertaining upstairs.
The way you said it suggests that perhaps he was only like able to live on the second floor and otherwise empty house. And I thought,
that's and he was forced with ointment on his hump at all times as well.
All right. So, okay. So he's a woman. Yeah. He screams. Okay.
Yep. So, he's apparently was frozen in fear, but eventually the woman moved on. Neenan says that he never again saw the ghost, but afterwards insisted on sleeping with all of the doors closed.
I mean, you should be doing that from the jump. That's
I mean, for fire safety, really. Yeah. I mean, it's an old ass house, you know, old wiring.
You really want those very flammable doors to be right there where the fires can get them and burn down, and then you can escape. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll jump out this hole in the wall that was just created by this helpful fire.
Thank you, fire.
That is Sally Conley, the Conley House ghost.
All right.
Any questions?
Gosh, so many. I think I'll reserve.
Do you recall seeing this house on campus?
Well, I'm trying to decide if Conley House, like the term Conley House, is familiar, or if just the Conley Street is familiar, which it certainly is. I do not recall this. I'm itching to Google it, but I'm gonna not do that. No, please don't. It does, it does sound familiar, but again, it could just be me remembering Conley Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then, so I don't know, but I don't recall hearing ghost stories on campus when we were there. Mm-hmm. But then again, I was not actively seeking out ghost stories when we were there.
I was pretty busy when I was in college trying to forget college.
That's right. That's right. Doing a pretty good job by all accounts. Because I don't remember Conley House. So I don't know. Lots to think about here. Lots to think about, because of course, you know, this is a story that you could have made up when just you know a lot of details because it's familiar to you.
It's one way to play the game.
It's one way to play the game. Absolutely. Or maybe it's something you've done to throw me off. You know,
as
you know,
another way to play.
You know that I know that you know that I know that you were at Mizzou. So that's tough. That's tough. Yeah, one of us is playing seven-dimensional chess and the other one is playing tic-tac-toe. I just don't know who is who yet.
Eighth-dimensional tic-tac-toe. Oh, it goes in all these different... I can't keep track of it. Are you ready for the third and final ghost story of the
evening? I guess so. We're only at like 36 minutes. You can stretch this one out a little bit, or...
We have so much... We're going to have so much review time.
Okay. I think it'll be okay. Great. I am ready.
Okay. 1891, Alabama.
Oh, fuck.
Condi Cunningham is born.
Okay. Condi Cunningham.
Condi Cunningham.
Is Condi short for something that you know of, or just...
Probably Condoleezza, I would imagine.
Okay. Probably. So this is a female person.
Female. Female lady. Yep.
Female lady.
Not much is known about her early life, but at age 16... She attends the University of Montevallo.
A lot of higher education themes here, I think.
I was trying to go with a theme this year. I actually totally forgot that I had a theme this year. I took these notes when I've been drinking over the last night. But I apparently had a theme. That's a good one.
Montevallo?
Montevallo. I can spell it if you'd like.
That actually would be helpful.
Montevallo.
That's okay. All one word?
All one word.
Where is this located?
This is in Alabama. So south of Birmingham and north of whatever the other city is in Alabama.
Uh-huh. Whatever Memphis.
Oh, actually, here. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm just going to skip forward to the next.
Oh, okay, great.
Next paragraph. The University of Montevallo is located in Montevallo, Alabama.
Oh, great.
Just south of Birmingham, between Birmingham and Montgomery. That's the other one.
Oh, that is the other one. That's right. Okay. All right.
There's other ones up north. I checked the map. I've stayed within like 10 miles of this place before.
Oh, really?
For work. Yeah. Outrageous barbecue. It was like I went to like a chain barbecue place that all the guys that I was there visiting were like, oh, you want to go there? And it was fucking outrageous. it was the most insane barbecue I ever had. And I thought, okay, well, this is what these guys don't like. I don't even know if I want to try the stuff they do like. This is great.
Sometimes you become a chain because you just are good at what you do and you expand, mm-hmm. you know?
Exactly.
Strange yeah. donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that fucking guy. Can't get sidetracked by donuts. Keep going.
I know. I'm trying to keep it between the rails here.
We could talk for the next 17 hours about Jason and his videos, so we gotta keep going.
We'll put him in the show notes. That'll be fine. The University of Montevallo, you'll love this. It's the only public liberal arts college in the state of Alabama. Can you believe that?
No. No, in fact, I can't.
I didn't know if your job search had taken you, you know, through.
Oh no,
in Alabama.
I blocked out Alabama. It was like, where do you want to see? And I was like, well, I'm pretty open to anything. Not this state. Not this state. Yeah. Not this state. And Alabama was definitely one of those.
Oh, that's a shame because this could have been the one public university you could have taught at in Alabama.
Think so. Yeah. Okay.
February 4th, 1908. Condi is probably 16. Yeah, probably 16.
Okay.
She turned 17 later that year. Oh, looks like she won't. Condi is in.
Oh no! Spoiler alert.
Condi's enjoying an evening in the dorms with her friends. So February, this is, you know, pretty. Not chilly for Alabama, but chilly for people in Alabama, I suppose. They decide to make themselves some hot cocoa late in the evening, using a smuggled-in Bunsen burner. From the science, the science department.
Okay.
I don't know why. I guess they probably don't at that time have a whole lot of other options for cooking things in the dorms.
Yeah, it's probably no electricity. I guess not. That's probably,
When the curfew bell rings, it startles the girls, and somehow one of them knocks the Bunsen burner over, spilling alcohol onto the floor, flaming alcohol.
It's not what you want.
I guess that's how Bunsen burners work. I don't really.
I've never seen one. The only thing I know about Bunsen is it's a cool Muppet name.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's also kind of an agent of chaos. The spilled flaming alcohol catches Condi's nightgown on fire, causing her to panic, which would make anyone panic. If my nightgown got caught on fire,
I would panic. Is
big panic.
Yeah. That is the calm word for what I would do if my nightgown caught on alcohol fire.
She flees the room, running down the hall, gradually becoming more engulfed in flames. This is probably really, really spooky for her.
Probably so. That's probably a good guess. I mean, also nightgowns at this time were made of 100% asbestos. So yeah. She's just going. She's inhaling these fumes. Wait, is asbestos fire retardant?
It is fire retardant.
Okay, yes, so is, that's yeah. That was a bad. That was a bad. That was my fault because I.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, the whole rest of the building is made of asbestos. I mean, she's dead of mesothelioma before she turns 25. Yeah. Either way.
Okay. Let's take it again, Jeremy, one more time. Just cut that. And her nightgown at this time was probably made of wax paper. Is that
yeah,
is that flammable? Anyway, so she's running. Okay, so her nightgown
so
is
she's running.
Catching fire. Yeah.
She's on fire.
Yeah, stop, drop, and roll.
Big problems.
Gotta stop, drop, and roll.
Yep, absolutely. I don't know if they hadn't invented that yet, though. And probably, again, if they had invented it, probably a Yankee thing. So yeah, I don't know if they really
down to Alabama yet. No. Okay.
Yeah, they need like a strong national individual like Elon Musk to bring to bring stop, drop, and roll to the South.
Really unite the North and the South. Yeah,
exactly.
Unite or
Elon Musk. That's how y'all can stop catching on fire. A doormate covers her in a rug to try and smother the flames. Somebody has been paying attention.
Yes.
During, you know, don't let each other burn to death class.
Now, the rug is made of asbestos. And so
that's which so she was fire fine. Inside, cooking her like a Thanksgiving turkey.
And then she died of very fast cancer also.
Yeah.
Really, really tough.
Obviously, after running all the way down the hallway and then being smothered by an asbestos rug, she's in bad shape.
Oh, she's no. In bad shape.
I know. Like I said, this story doesn't turn out well for her. She spends 2 days in the hospital, the campus infirmary.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. You can't go to the campus doctor for that. This is someone who got last in his class at med school. You got to go to a real hospital, Gandhi. Oh, no.
He's trying to like slip two aspirin under your tongue. Like, I think this is going to be fine.
Here's a Z-Pack. I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah. I think it's just chlamydia. I don't think it's as serious as you think it is. Maybe you should call your mom. Have her come pick you up and see if she can donate any skin. So on February 6th, 1908, Condi sadly passes away from her injuries. Several days after she passes, spooky things start to happen in the dormitory where the accident occurred.
Okay.
Specifically in her room or on the door to her room. So there, you can imagine, you know, back then it's not like plastic doors and whatnot. It's the big solid frame, solid wood doors with the, you know, all the wood grain and whatnot. And a few days after she passes away, the wood grain on the door seems to change shape to show her tortured, flaming face.
Now, this is like Toast Jesus, and I'm pretty interested.
This is going to go so well on eBay. I'm going to be able to.
Be so rich.
But apparently, it is so disturbing that to everyone else in the dorm that they want nothing to do with this door.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. If I saw the fucking wood grain of a door turn into a flaming ghost scream face, I'm no longer for the South. Yeah. Now I'm suddenly I don't know, I became anti-slavery. It's weird, but now I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy and I live up here where it's very far away from that.
Eventually, there's so many complaints, which I guess it's nothing but complaints at this point about the spooky door.
So.
Yeah. The university removes the door.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Right. They go and they're like, fuck it. No. Okay, fine. We'll get rid of the door.
Yeah.
We don't feel good about burning the door for obvious reasons, but we are going to get rid of the door.
Because the door is full of asbestos.
Exactly. They bring a new door. They put the new door up. Mm-hmm. A few days later, the face reappears in the new door.
Not in the new door.
That's when it's time. You go to the campus registrar. You fill out the form to go to a different dorm. At that point.
Yeah.
Or at least different floor.
Minimum different dorm. I mean, again, different school is good. Different state might be ideal. Door wood grain and door changing to screaming ghost face is bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
New door. Changing into that same
thing. The first time, you could chalk it up just to, you know, it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
It happens. Look at my door. It looks like a dog pissing on another dog. That's, you know.
And
that happened outside too. So maybe that's just what this dorm works.
And maybe
it's the dorm from Lost suddenly. I don't
know. Now there's a polar bear and we'll never find out why, but here it is. And, you know, maybe that's freaking you out, but like this is a place that gave you a Pell Grant. And so you really got to stay here.
You're kind of stuck.
Yeah. But that second door comes in and that, they go can manipulate that. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. That is, you know what? Actually, as everyone knows, I'm sure I'm very much in favor of higher education. You drop out of college and you just go.
It's time for welding school.
Go onto a boat. No. Yeah. That's bad. That's bad.
After the second door was removed, obviously, the university at this point is tired of going through doors.
Well, and it's only been two doors. They have a dearth of doors?
It's not like they're just like flush with cash as the only public liberal arts university in Alabama. I can imagine that was the budget for the year right there. Oh, she needs a second door? Oh, I guess no one's going to know this fucking year.
The dining hall is all ramen noodles, 50-cent ramen noodle packs.
It's so weird. This hamburger from the dining hall tastes kind of like a door. It's weird. I don't really know. I can't place it. Red hot, though. I'll tell you that much.
This
red
milk hot. Is like thick sawdust. I don't know what's going on.
And I find a doorknob in my mashed potatoes. Eventually, they remove the door, and they're like, fine, no doors. And they don't put the door back on that room. No one stays in that room. That's just...
I mean, that does seem like the obvious thing to do. Like, I don't have a better solution.
Over the years, Condi's ghost has been reportedly heard wailing on the dorm floor. I guess she was...
just fucking punching shit and was wailing on that stuff. Just bam, 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 bam.
Maybe they should have just left the door there. I mean, the door sounds like it was probably quiet. You know,
yeah. Spooky, so you hear that she is now that she doesn't have a door to go into. Now she's just kind of roaming. Oh yeah.
And honestly, you know what? It sounds crass, but you take one of those whiteboards and you just put it up right on top of it. It's not, you know, there's no victim here.
That's true.
I mean, cover it up. There's no additional victims here.
And this is what, this is 1908, right?
Oh wait. Yes.
So there's no internet. No one's sharing this story online.
Right, exactly.
You put a white door there, you hang a sock on that doorknob, no one's going in that. No one's touching the door, no one's going in there, no one's asking questions. Everyone knows the deal. You're fine.
But the kind of the worst part is the ghost wailing up and down the dorm floor. You can hear her screaming for help as well as she's running up and down the dorm floor. Not great.
That's not good. That's not good. No.
So, and of course, your residents routinely feel that same uneasy presence as if someone is watching them throughout the halls of the dormitory.
Yikes.
So that is Condi Cunningham.
Condi Cunningham. All right.
The girl on fire at the University of Montevallo.
That's not a moniker you want when you, that's how you want to be remembered by history.
Spooky girl door. I'd been more excited about Condi Cunningham, the spooky door girl at the University of Montevallo.
I think today that door would have gone on eBay for like $70 minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
There would have been so many grainy photos of this on TikTok, you would not have been able to handle
it. Well, now, God, you can make this could be a cottage industry. Like, you put a new door up, it gets a face. You put it on eBay, put a new door up, gets a face, put it on eBay. They've really missed out here.
And then you record the process of putting the doors up and how, you know, how satisfying it is. Then you put that on TikTok. Yeah, oh, monetize that.
And then you have a whole YouTube channel about how to reinstall doors. That's a whole thing. Perfect.
I like this. I like this a lot. I think.
All right, so we should go to this university, and
this one pays for itself.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just little note in the margin.
Yeah, tag this one. Let's follow up. All right.
Any questions?
Yeah, I do have a question about that one.
We covered a lot here.
We did. So I do have one question jumps out to me about this one. So once they realized that now her spirit was free, did they try putting another door back up to try to re-catch the spirit? Or they just are just letting her go.
They claim to this day the room is doorless. So again, I don't know if the budget may not have allowed it or
that seems very reasonable.
Let's not discount that.
Someone definitely at that college was like, oh shit, we don't have to pay for this door. Oh, that's $2.01 that we now have freed up in the budget. I assume they're going by pence. And
Let's spend it straight on the football program. All right, let's go right ahead.
All right. Gosh.
Okay, so you've heard all three tales.
I've heard all three tales. You're telling me one of them is fake, two of them are real.
One is fake.
And you wouldn't lie about that. You wouldn't try to make me seem a fool by doing three real stories.
Double herrings this time. No double herrings.
All right.
No.
All right.
Just a single herring.
All right, let me check my notes. I get my reading glasses here. All right, so number one, we're in Idaho. I don't know a lot about Idaho, so that's one of the states where, because sometimes I will do like, and I will say all three of these, obviously for one of them, but the other two, I've never come across in my research. So you continue to do a very good job of finding stories that I've not yet found, so that's very good.
One of the reasons that I did choose the universities is, as I was thinking back of all 126 episodes we've done, I couldn't recall a lot of university ghosts, and I thought, well, either Clayton finds these boring, which is an even better reason to choose it for the show that he has to MC, or maybe it's a blind spot.
Maybe it's a blind spot. We did do the Texas A&M.
We did. That was, yeah, the butcher basement ghost.
Yeah, that was a wild one. Is that the only university ghost we've done?
It's the only one I could recall.
Gosh, I know, Jen, if this is wrong, Jen is screaming at the computer right now.
Yeah, Jen probably several listeners beating also a hole into her iPhone right now.
But that's the only one that comes to mind right now. Okay, so Idaho. Idaho's a blind spot. Higher ed, maybe a blind spot for me. Although I should say Mary Baldwin supposedly is haunted, so I got to figure out more about that because I have obviously some insider access. My own college is haunted. Okay, so gosh, Idaho had some good names. I don't know. Julie, was that an early 20th century name? I don't know. It feels weird. Morrill Hall. Oh, that feels like a real detail. Okay, so that one's tough. So I don't really know what to think about Idaho. Let's see. Number two, the Conley House. I wish I'd started this podcast in 2003. Because then I would know for sure.
We'd be rich as shit. Yeah. No one had anything to do with podcasts back then.
Because I definitely would have found out a local ghost local to where I was in 2003. I don't think I met you. I mean, maybe it was the year I met you.
Probably, yes.
So we could have done this podcast in 2003.
Absolutely, yeah. I had all kinds of free time.
Real missed opportunity, and most importantly, I would know the answer to whether or not number two is a real ghost.
Well, I had wasted the last 20 years of my life not doing this podcast and fucking up two haunts and a flaunt.
Well, the stakes are very high, as we all know.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I mean, God, asking to be buried in a wall is real. I mean, it's super spooky.
It seems normal.
It's great. I don't think it is normal. But then again, now I get in my own head because it's like, would you share that story in detail because it's so fucking wild that I would be like, that can't be real, or would you share that as a made up detail knowing that I would be like, it's too wild to be made up. It must be. I don't know. So it's tough. This is a tough one. This is a, you know, I obviously didn't win last time we did this, but I think these are even more difficult. I felt by the time we were done with the three last Halloween, I at least felt like there was some, I felt like comfortable with my answer, even though it was wrong, but at least I feel like I had a direction. Here, I don't feel like I have a direction, which maybe is a good thing. Now, the third story, I don't know, this being the only public university liberal arts college in the state, that doesn't feel like a real stat to me. So I flagged that instantly. And also I was, I don't know. Your mannerisms were interesting during that one. You looked a lot at the camera. I really enjoyed it. And not the notes, I noticed.
Because I have that one memorized. It was fascinating. Yeah, it's fascinating me.
It is a good one. It's a very cool ghost detail about the door grain, the wood grains on the door turning into a thing. And that's the kind of detail that makes me think maybe it's real because I don't know. It's interesting. So, I don't know. Are there any other kind of details that you want to share, or like any final words from you before I make my decision? Because I'll tell you, I'm really it's kind of a coin toss right now for me. But I'm gonna make a decision. But anything else you want to say before I do that?
No, I am somewhat alarmed now looking back and realizing that these are all women that died on college campuses. And that makes you me fucking feel freak. A bit creepy. This is, I'm feeling less good about this now.
It feels almost like that I'm going to look back and find out that serial killer that was running rampant on the Mizzou's campus when we were there might be a little close to home. You did say there was a theme.
Yeah, next year's Halloween episode is going to be so much scarier because I will be in jail.
It's gonna be the sound quality is gonna be a little bad because it's gonna be coming through the phone call from the jail to my cell phone to the soundboard.
You keep hearing the operator come on every 5 minutes letting me know how much time is left on the call. I got it. We're bantering though. It's banter.
It's have you not listened to the podcast? People love the banter.
That's the tone.
Oh, you I know have? You have. You don't like the you. Banter? Oh no. Oh no. You left the Spotify review? Oh no. All right. Well, I think you did a great job. These are, thank you. This is a tough one. And they are, I think part of the reason they're so tough is they are so similar in theme. So I'm going to have to go, I guess, with my gut. I don't feel particularly strong about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go, with what I have, which is my gut a little bit. I am going to guess. And by the way, this is a thing we say, every time, if you're listening to this, if you want, you can go stop. We will put the answer up on our Facebook page by the time you hear this. So, no, wait, that's not right. What do we say? No,
I wouldn't do that.
No, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. We will put up a question on our Facebook page asking you what you think the right answer is. And you go... And
don't cheat.
Don't cheat. Nah, that's not fun. Don't cheat. Go and pause it right now and then go to the Facebook page and just let us know what you think the real story is. And then we'll see if you're smarter than I am. And historically speaking, most of you are. all right, here's what I'm going to say. You ready? Get a drum roll. I don't have a drum roll. What do I have?
Yeah, he walked out the door and he gave him the knob whacking of his life. Basically a drum roll.
I am going to guess that the flaunt, the fake story, is Condi Cunningham.
Condi Cunningham, final answer?
Final answer.
All right. Clayton Smith. Condi Cunningham, the girl on fire at the University of Montevallo, is absolutely true.
No way! Is this detail about being the only public university that's a liberal arts college?
You can go on their website and see.
I will check.
I saw that and I thought, boy, I have to figure out. I absolutely have to use this one now.
All right, well, can I do a second get? I mean, obviously, I've lost the game, but can I?
Right, sure.
Gosh, if that one's not true, I'll say Idaho.
Yeah, it was Idaho. Okay. Idaho was the fake one.
All right. Yeah.
I was trying to throw you off with the Conley Hall one, because I knew you probably didn't know a whole lot about the... I didn't know anything about the Conley House.
No.
But,
man, the streak is unbroken. I love
it. Now we finally reach a point where we've had three opportunities to win, and we've lost all three, which means just guessing randomly, we probably would have won by now.
That's true. That's true. That's embarrassing for us as a whole. J. Glover Eldridge is a good name. That's a good that's a good one.
Indeed. Indeed.
Man, so the door thing is real, huh?
The door thing is real. Yeah. Even if even removing the door entirely and just not putting one back on the room, I thought, well, but I guess again, in 1908, that's just sort of the way you solve a problem like that. Like, I can't explain what the fuck's going on anymore.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Like, if you put, you know, the one door is fucked, obviously, you take it out there, you put a new door, the new door then takes it, like, I would say, like, okay, door. But once the screaming starts happening, I go back, it's new door, it's new
okay,
door.
Okay, fine, doors.
Yeah, okay, fine, doors you again. Win, it's door. Just be cool. And yes, like you said, hanging a little whiteboard over there. Yeah. That's the right move for sure. Oh man. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Conley House one, there's actually a short, like 2 minute radio segment, from whatever the campus radio station was back in 2003. So that's where most of the details for that one ended up coming from. Nice. Yeah, I don't remember. I was never on that part of campus. The name, same as you, the name sounded familiar. But even when I looked at photos of it, I thought maybe I walked past that drunkenly one time. I really don't know.
Aunt Sally, the Conley House's resident ghost. There she is. Fucking Aunt Sally. Oh, here's an article in the Maneater.
Mm-hmm.
Mizzou publication. I'm sure I've seen this house. I'm sure I've passed it. Because there was my freshman year. My parking spot was on the football stadium parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure I walked past it like every time that I went there. Nice. All right. All right. Well, you win again, my friend. That was great.
I can't wait till for our 200th episode when you get another crack at it.
God, so long from now. Nice. Nice. Well, how did it feel doing the research again?
Not great. No part of it. No part of it do I like. I'm very happy to hand the reins back to you for 51 more weeks.
Yeah, I do like we do this once a year, though, just so you can, you know, be reminded of of all the work that goes into it. Although, yeah. So it's reminded on our Facebook page. Sometimes, yeah, other people do those stories. And I'll do a full 51 weeks. Thanks, everybody. All right.
Well, all right, so Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. Mm-hmm. All the notes this week were taken by myself, Patrick Dean. All the funny jokes from Clayton Smith.
Fingers crossed.
Audio editing by Jeremy Montoya. Video editing by Jen Swanson. And our social media manager, Kai Valonis. And anybody else? That's it, right?
That's it.
That's a whole, that's a whole gang?
For now, although, I don't know, we have an announcement coming soon. But yeah, for now, that's it.
Okay, fair enough. We're interns.
More, potentially. We'll see.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Love intern. Mm-hmm. And this is a reminder to you that there is a 2 out of 3 chance that you might be the subject of next week's Is This a Ghost?
That's very good.